Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. Appreciate the songs Ken chose today. A lot of songs of action and things that we are to be doing, which is kind of what we've been talking about as we get started with this new series, I Will. If you're visiting with us, you are on week two, so you haven't missed too much. You can hang around and catch the rest of it. But we're glad that you're here and hope that you will be blessed for having been here this morning. You had to admire his commitment. He made the decision to attend. You would not miss it. The weather was terrible that day. Steady rain, temperature in the 40s. He still got out in the weather. Because of the bad weather, he did not quite make it on time. It was difficult to get to his seat as well, but he persevered. His seat was not comfortable, but he didn't leave or complain. His presence vividly demonstrated his love and his commitment. He was joyous the entire time. He enjoyed the presence of his fellow believers, his attitude, his attendance, and his enthusiasm all reflected his deep and abiding commitment. He was at a college football game on a Saturday afternoon. By the way, he didn't attend church the next day. He was tired from the ball game, and there was a 40% chance of rain. I love that opening story because it's kind of leading you in one direction and turns into a different one. And yet it's pretty true of the things that we do. I remember going to a Arkansas-Alabama game one year and didn't take David along with me, who was the other football fan in the family that cared about it, because there were tornado warnings. And I thought, I want to make sure my child is safe, even though I'm still going to go out here and watch this football game, and there are tornado warnings. And David was very upset with me for a long time for not taking him. That was the year that he decided he might even root for Arkansas a little bit because he was just upset of not having been taken. And I thought, midway through the game, as I was being drizzled on and it was just nasty and rainy, why am I here? Why am I here out in the midst of this? And how many things would I not go to because of this? Just because of the weather outside, even the getting there and getting out of the car and getting back to the car, nevertheless, the fact that I'm going to sit out here for 3 hours and just be a part of this. And I started to realize that sometimes our levels of dedication are different based on what it is that we're here to do. Now, this morning, we're continuing with this idea of I will. The idea that I will be outwardly focused, which means by nature I'm going to be less focused on me. And this morning we're going to talk about worship. And we talked a little bit about the idea of worship last week, but we'll get a little more deep into the idea this week. I will worship with others. That by its very nature brings something that's a little bit of a difficulty into the picture, doesn't it? I will worship with others. Now I found out when I got married that I can't do everything the way that I want to do everything. And a lot of you may have come into that same experience. When I was in college, I went through, I believe, 5 roommates during my time in college. Part of it was just timing things. Part of it was people getting married. Part of it was people just wanting to move off campus and things like that. And part of it was probably that I am not the easiest person in the world to live with. I'm sure it was a very small part of it, but there was part of it too. And I realized early on, I like things a particular way. I like things in a particular place. I like things done in a particular order. Some things are more important to me than others, and you should learn to adapt to all of these things. And when I got married, I realized very quickly, it doesn't work that way. And I think I knew that in principle, but to see that unfold in life was very different. And what made it even a little more difficult was when we got married, I was 26 years old, I believe. Stacy was the age that she was. And when we got married, I had already had a little bit of time of single guy in the apartment life. I had a way of doing things. I had a way of seeing things through or not seeing things through. I had a way of scheduling things or not scheduling things. I had a particular way things were to be done. And I learned very quickly that right or wrong, good or bad, once I enter into this married life, it's not always going to be that way. It's not always going to be the thing I think should happen at this time. It's not always going to be the thing I think should happen in this way. The thing I think is important might be something she thinks is not as important and vice versa. Now, multiply that pair of us to the 150 of us here. And if you could get all 150 of us to agree on anything, that could be miraculous. I'm not 100% sure, but it would be very unusual that we all see everything exactly the same way. And so because of that, our worship, when it comes to our part of it, when it comes to people, is a little bit of give and take. Now, our focus always should be on God, but if you are anything like me or like most of us, occasionally your focus does not go in the direction that it needs to go from the moment you start getting ready in the morning to the moment that you're sitting where you're at right now. And we start thinking about a lot of other things. Now, the church in Acts, I think, gives us a good hint as to how this should work. And we're going to look at their example this morning. I'm going to start a little bit ahead of the slides, and then we'll catch up with the slides. Beginning in verse 42, Luke writes, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship and the breaking of bread, and to prayer." A good bit of what we've done this morning, by the way. "Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Now, we see a few things about them. First of all, they are joyful. They are happy to be together. And I think part of that, we get hints to it along the way. They're filled with awe. And so there's a joy that comes with that. There's an excitement that comes with that. They're in a place with people who believe a similar thing. And there's an excitement that comes with that. Back to the college football illustration that we started with. If you have been to Autzen on a day where things are going well, there is an excitement there. There's an electricity in the air that you can't quite explain. I watched parts of the game yesterday after coming back from the men's event in Corvallis. One of the things they do there in Nebraska, sorry to say the word for you, my wife's excited, no one else is. One of the things they do there in Nebraska at a home game, when they score the first touchdown, they release red balloons. And so you see these tens of thousands of red balloons go up into the air. The whole time I'm watching this game, the thing that is happening in the back of my mind is, as excited as Leland Witt is to be where he is right now, I wish Leland Witt could be watching this game. He's been waiting so long for Oregon and Nebraska to finally play, and he talked about that game on and off. And when I went on Facebook later in the day, I saw a picture of one of his grandkids at the game with two balloons. One for her, one for Leland. And I thought, what a cool moment. What an exciting kind of moment. And as excited as Leland would be about that game and everything else, I can truly say to you, he's probably not all that concerned about missing it right now. He's in a happier place. And I look at us where we are here and the level of excitement I watched at so many different games yesterday. And I think to myself, what could we be more excited about than the thing that brings us here? What could we be more joyful about, as they were, than the thing that brings us together here? And yet so many times we just don't seem all that joyful about things. They had humble attitudes. And we talked about this some at the men's event yesterday, for those of you who weren't there. They had the attitude of Christ, making himself nothing, not looking to their own interests, looking to the interests of others, as is put in Philippians chapter 2. They were humble. They were humble in the sense in Acts 2 where we just read that they sold what they had and they shared so that no one was in need. And so they're joyous and they are humble. And because I think of these things, they have favor with all the people. What if the community around us, the world around us, looked at Christianity, looked at the church, and their reaction to that was positive? And to some it is. To some, it's funny how things have changed over the course of time. There was a time where if you were the minister at a church, you were someone who was looked up to in the community. And now it's more of the point of if you're a minister at a church and you get to mention that midway through the conversation, everyone just kind of starts watching their language at that point. It's not nearly the status thing that it once was. It used to be the church was looked at as a very positive influence in the community. Now it's some feel that way and others just don't really care a whole lot one way or the other, or some have negative feelings about it. They are joyful, they are humble, they have favor in the community as a result of that, and as a result of all those things, they're growing. God is continuing to add to their number because of what they're doing. Now, this is where, and I probably should have said this at the beginning, just in case anybody left because they didn't want to hear this one. I am not going to spend any time today attempting to guilt you into being here. First of all, you're here. So I'd be preaching to the choir if we had choirs. But you're here, and I know there will be days that you're not here, and I know there will be reasons that you're not here from time to time. But if you are here, and the purpose of your being here is guilt, I don't know that we're accomplishing a whole lot. And I don't know that's going to carry you very far through life. So my intent is not to guilt you into anything. My intent here, I think, is the intent that he talks about in the book, which is if you have at some point in life, or maybe today, you are a begrudging participant in this. You have been dragged here. I was a youth minister in Arkansas. I mentioned having gone to that Alabama-Arkansas game in the tornado. The years that they were playing Alabama in Arkansas, I did not have any trouble taking our youth group to the game. The years Alabama and Arkansas would play in Alabama, and I had to pick some other random Arkansas game to take kids to, those weren't nearly as exciting. And I was kind of a begrudging participant. Go watching Arkansas play Central Florida or whoever and sitting in the rain on those was not nearly as exciting as when it was my team. A lot of us were begrudging participants somewhere along the way. There was a point in life when I was a child that I felt that I was dragged to come. I felt that I had to sit and listen to something that I didn't really want to sit and listen to and listen to songs I didn't really care about. What we want, instead of being begrudging participants, is to be joyous in our commitment, which is to say, if someone came to you and you're an Oregon fan and they offered you free tickets to whatever the biggest game of the year is, if you had it open on your schedule, you probably would go. You'd probably be excited about that. Or if it's not Oregon football for you, whatever that thing is, free tickets to something, a free trip somewhere that you'd like to go, they're not going to have to twist your arm too much. This is going to be something that you're okay with. And yet here, sometimes we find ourselves just going along because that's what we do, going along because we've been dragged, going along because we feel guilty if we're not there, and we should be somewhere so far beyond that. I look at it in this way. I love this picture. If you can't read it from where you're at, it says, I survived another meeting that should have been an email. I hate the idea that sometimes folks might look at our worship time that way. That this is just something that it's taken my time. It could have been done in such a different way. Why did he have to talk so long? Why were there so many songs? Why was that prayer as long as it was? All of those things. And instead, shouldn't we be looking at this as our opportunity to worship God? If you look in Psalm 95, beginning in verse 1 and 2, we have this indication of why it is that we do worship. What it is about God that brings us here this morning. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods, and in his hands is the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, he made it, and his hands, they formed the dry land. Now think about all that for a minute, just within the course of five verses, all that God has done. He's the great King above all gods. He took his hands and formed dry land. He understands the depths of the earth. He made the seas. And for all of those reasons and so many others, we spend our time in worship to him. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Not only does he have the power to have created all this, to understand how all this works, within all that grandness, all that holiness, he still cares about each one of us sitting here this morning. We are the flock under his care. And if you take that flock imagery into the New Testament, when there are 100 sheep and 99 are fine and one is lost, he cares so much, he goes after the one. And for each of us, yet another reason to understand why it is that we're here to worship him. couple statements I want you to think about for a minute when it comes to our attitudes about church. This is the first one. If they don't change things, I am leaving this church. Makes my skin ruffle just a little bit when I hear stuff like that. And I hope it does yours too. But I will tell you, I've heard it. Almost word for word. When I ran into this phrase in the book, I kind of stepped back for a second because I thought, was he in that meeting? Was he at that place? Was he there when so-and-so said what they said about whatever? And the problem is, the reason he's able to write this in the book is this is happening everywhere. There are folks that will pick out a thing at the church and say, if this doesn't change, I'm out of here. I'm going to quit altogether because I've given up. I'm going to go somewhere else where they think the way I think. I lived in a town before I came here, five churches of Christ within 5 miles of each other, and the small one was about 500 people. You had a 500, about a 600, an 800, and two that were about 1,500, all within 5 miles. Do you know what happened when one of those churches started doing something that people didn't like? We all move over here. We're all going to hang here for a while where everybody agrees with us until this place starts doing something I don't like, and then what? Well, we're all going to move over here now. And there was always this movement of people from place to place. Now, for where we're at, we don't have, I don't know if I call it a luxury or curse, of that many of that size all around. And so we argue and we bicker and all of that stuff. If they don't change things, I'm out of here. Now, before you get too comfortable looking at those folks, if they do change things, I am leaving this church. Now, we should have covered a lot of us at this point. Now, hopefully not the I'm leaving this church side, but maybe the front side of it. And I don't know what these things are for you, because I think probably most of us have something in mind that we're not doing as a church that we ought to be doing, and something in mind that we're doing as a church that should be a different way. And some of those things are big, giant things, and some of those things are silly little things. But if you spend a lot of time this morning thinking, well, why all the songs about action? I don't want action. I want songs about something else. You spend a lot of time this morning thinking, I hate these chairs and I want the pews back. If you spend a lot of time this morning thinking, I don't like the color they chose for that wall out there. If you spend a lot of time this morning thinking, those aren't my kind of vegetables on the table today, I want different vegetables. If you spend a lot of time this morning thinking, why isn't he wearing a tie? If you spend a lot of time this morning thinking, why are we talking about this stuff? I hate to tell you this, but you've fallen into it. And believe me, I can do it too. Because there are a lot of mornings that I will sit here and my mind is not where it needs to be. But when that takes root and that becomes what you are about when you are here, you have missed everything we just read in Psalm 95. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before our God and Maker. That's why we're here. Doesn't matter what we're sitting on. It doesn't matter which microphone is working and which one is not. It doesn't matter that I remembered the batteries this week. It doesn't matter if we're on benches or on chairs. It does not matter any of it. If we are here to worship our God and Maker, that is what we are here for. And until we can set those other things aside, we are nothing different than the newlywed who must have everything our way and unwilling to compromise on anything. Life is a series of compromise. Now, don't mishear me. I understand there are biblical things. I understand there are doctrinal things, and I'm with you. But so much of what we argue and fight about, it's nothing to do with any of that. It's, I like it this way. I want it this way. Why did someone in Corvallis schedule something that required me to leave my home at 8 on a Saturday? Saturdays are precious. And yet, I'm blessed for having been there. Could have been in the afternoon, but I'm blessed for having been there. Yet a time is coming. Now, to set our stage here, Jesus is at the well with a Samaritan woman. They have had a discussion about all kinds of things. The fact that the discussion was happening was unusual because it's a woman and he's in Samaria in the first place and she's a Samaritan and Jews don't talk to Samaritans and men don't talk to women and they're at the well and he doesn't even have a bucket. What's going on? And so this conversation develops and she does what a lot of us do, by the way. She turns this thing into a conversation about how are we supposed to worship and where is that supposed to happen and when is it okay and when is it not okay and who's right and who's wrong and how does this develop out of just a great conversation that she's having with Jesus. And these are the questions she asks. And he says to her, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. True worshipers. Now, I don't know how you define this. I think Jesus does a fair job of defining it right before this, that we're worshiping in spirit and in truth. I don't know how you put that necessarily into our context today. What is a true worshiper? Now, I believe that a big part of being a true worshiper is taking our time here and focusing it on him and not on us. Or if there is a focus on us in any part of this that's happening, it's a focus on everybody else and not on me. Hard to do, isn't it? Because we've all got opinions. We've all got thoughts. We're all right because that's what we do. And yet there's something bigger here that we are here to do. There's something more important here that we're here to do in being true worshipers of God. So, here's the question this leads us all to. What will I do? The study here is I will, so we need to leave here with an I will do something to make this better. First of all, I will attend worship services. Now, again, I know you're here, and I do not want you to attend out of guilt. Now, I will have to be totally honest in that I would rather have you attend out of guilt than not attend at all, but I don't want the guilt to be the thing that holds you here. I will attend. Now, what does that mean? Here's what that means. You have things in your life that you think are mandatory, and you have things in your life that you think are optional. Is this on the mandatory list? Now, again, it's hard to not get ourselves into guilt mode, so I want to be careful with this. But is this the thing that other things get rescheduled around? Because we all have those. We all have the meetings we can't miss. We all have the things that we can't let go of. Is this one of those or is it not? And if it's not, then maybe the question is why? Now, if that's our fault as a church somehow, if we're not making this thing as worthwhile as it should be, hopefully we can do that better, but it's hard to do that better when you're not here. Now, at the same time, even if we're not doing everything we could be doing and it could be better, we're still here in essence to worship God. And that can be whatever you want that to be. Regardless of who's choosing the songs or doing the prayers or what the topic of the sermon is that morning, if you're here to worship God and you walk in that door, you can worship God if you want to worship God. It can happen. So first of all, it's just the being here, making this a priority. Now, in a practical sense, what do we do to make this happen? Here's what I will encourage you with. The next time something comes up that coincides with this, that it is possible to not do, don't do the other thing and be here. And then see what God does in your week. See if you were blessed for having been here more than for having been at the other thing, whatever it is. We had an occasion when one of our kids was small and playing soccer. They had a rainout and they rescheduled the championship game on Sunday. And we said, have fun. And the coach looked at us like we were crazy. And we said, no, this is just, we're not doing it. Sorry. Go, good luck. We hope you win. But we're not going to be there. Now, I honestly don't remember that worship service that Sunday. Couldn't tell you what was preached on. Couldn't tell you what was sung. But I'll tell you something else. I don't know that I'd remember much about the soccer game if I was there either. And which one of those two will I end up being more blessed with in the end? I think having worshiped God. And I don't know what that thing is for you, but I think each of us has things in our busy schedule that tend to encroach on God, and maybe it's time to make God the mandatory thing. Maybe it's time to think about, I'm going to schedule some other things around him instead of scheduling him around the other things. Secondly, I will pray before I attend worship services. Crazy idea. And I don't know where this falls for you. This could be the night before to kind of set your mind in that direction. This could be as you pull into the parking lot. This could be as you walk in and sit down. I will pray about this worship service. I will pray that the technology does what it's supposed to do. I will pray that God is honored here. I will pray that the song leader and preacher's voices hold out as mine's about to go. Excuse me. I will pray that my attitude is right. I will pray that if there's something in the service that normally would bother me, I'm not going to let it bother me today. I will pray if the temperature is off, that I will find something to fan with or a sweater to put around my shoulders. I pray that if the slides are not advancing the way the slides need to advance, that I'm going to appreciate that there are two teenage boys back there that have taken the time to learn how to do that and do it well most of the time. So many things we can complain about. Let's pray that we don't. Let's pray that our attitudes are positive. I pray that I will be a worshiper instead of a judge. Maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself with the last one. There's a lot of stuff that we can sit back and stand in judgment on. Oh, this should have been that, and that should have been that, and what a waste of time and energy. What a waste. And is God being honored in that? Is God being honored when we spend so much time on the minutia of a worship service instead of acknowledging he's our maker and we're here to worship him? So this morning, if I haven't sufficiently stepped on all our toes, I'll be walking down the aisles later to catch all of us. This morning, I have been in the shoes of everything I've talked about. And I imagine a lot of us probably have. You want to take whatever you've got and put it on steroids when it comes to this stuff? I have a degree in how to do this. I have taken classes called Christian worship and learned how a worship service is supposed to work and how it's not supposed to work and the things you should say and the things you shouldn't say and how the church is supposed to operate and all of that stuff. And you want to think that there aren't times I just want to stand back and shake my head? And I got to let it go. And for each of us, we've got to let it go, because when we are focused on that, we are the Pharisees, looking at every detail and how it should be something else, instead of looking at the God we serve and saying how mighty he is. That is why we're here today. This, remembering his sacrifice, is why we're here today. It's not for the chairs. It's not for the carpet. It's not for the building. It's not for wise words. It's not for every song I would have chosen. It is for him. And because of him, we have hope. Now this morning, if you're visiting, I should probably clarify a few things. We don't do all of these things all of the time, but we're like everything else. We are the, how many discussions about what should have happened in football games yesterday have you already heard? How many discussions about what politicians should be doing have you been a part of? We tend to armchair quarterback this thing sometimes. We're not perfect, but we're trying. And this, I hope, is something to remind us to keep trying. And if you look at church, if you're visiting with us, and you think, well, if it were more like that, that would be okay. I think I'd be good with that. It's all the complaining and stuff that I grew up with, and I remember. I don't want that. We don't want that either. And we would love for you to be a part of making church a better place. This morning, if you look at this God that we serve, and you're amazed that a God that is so grand and so holy and so powerful still cares about us, we're amazed by that too. But know that he wants so much to have a relationship with you. He wants you to live with him forever. He has prepared a place for you and just wants you to react to that gift to believe in him, to confess his name, to take him on in baptism. And this morning, if you'd like to do that, we would love to see that happen and be a part of it. This morning, if you have been a complainer, if you have been one that would rather sit and judge than worship, I hope you will look inward and figure out what it's going to take to change that in your mind. I believe some of the practical stuff, if you pray about attitudes coming into here, that's where it begins to change. If there's something you feel like you need to confess publicly because of that, something we pray about in your life, or if you'd like to become part of this body for the first time, please come as we stand and sing.